Hi everyone, welcome back. So we discussed four chapters so far, pretty much significant, I would say, the discussion or the coverage which we had on the project management practices and the other stuff. Now it's important that we automize it as much as possible. And if you want to automize it, you need some tools, right? I mean, you may not like to capture the project activities manually on a piece of paper or something. And there's a lot of misconception also a lot of project manager has that, hey, I'm not using any tools. But if you are using a spreadsheet and if you're capturing all the necessary details right from the scope, right from the timelines, everything, you are actually using the tools, right? So tool is something which is necessary. But when we say the Excel sheet based tools, that is something which is very, very, very basic, right? I mean, it's not really something which is giving you the benefit which you actually should have. So in this section, we are also going to speak about some of the techniques which a lot of project managers, they generally use. And these days, you can also automate. You can automize the emailer mechanism, the flags setting, and all kind of basic things onto the project management. Let's see some of the techniques which we will be discussing in this section. So we'll be speaking about the milestone-based chart. So basically nothing but a normal spreadsheet where you have captured your milestones and you are actually capturing the stuff. Then there'll be a task list, there'll be a Gantt chart which we'll be talking about, and we'll go all up to some of the applications or some of the online-based project management tools. Remember that there are many software providers, there are many software partners. They also provide some out-of-the-box solutions for capturing some of the tools. Okay, depending on your need of an organization, depending on the necessity of your organization, you can capture, you can invest onto those tools. If you are into the space where your organization is predominantly supporting or doing the projects, you might want to have some of the project management tools. But if you are just an organization who performs the projects for your own internal consumption, maybe you may not need to invest too much, but definitely it'll be of help if you have some project management tools in place. Okay, let's talk about So we'll walk a step back and then we'll move forward on the project management tools. Project schedules, we have discussed it before that it is actually helping any of the project managers, stakeholders to give a complete picture on when it's the start date, what is the resource requirement, and when I'm going to see the end of the project. The complete schedule is generally necessary to have the accurate amount of your effort estimate and communication for the timelines. Your scheduling would also involve some of the estimation, some of the predictive analysis, some of the predictive steps, which will help you to determine at what periodicity you should involve your communication stakeholders. You should involve yourself. You should involve the senior leadership time to time. And your schedule will also give you or your management an overarching timeline or visibility that what exactly is going to be achieved at what point in time. Right. So just a quick recap on what the project schedule is of help. And now we'll talk about some of the tools. Now, tools and techniques, generally it is required for you to either manage it effectively, manage it graphically, manage it automatically, right? Some of the probably risk, if they are flagged into the tools, you may get an email indicator saying, hey, this is what the risk is opened today, or this risk will be active if this particular task is not completed beyond a point, right? So there are various type of tools and techniques. There may be a very complicated tool also. But guys, please be mindful that if there is a project manager who is expected to use those tools has to be very, very simplified. Okay? Imagine that the project manager is already responsible for carrying out certain list of activities. And if he or she is already responsible for managing, tracking, ensuring those activities are being fulfilled, putting the things, everything again onto the project management tool should not be an overburden for them. We have to simplify the life of the project manager. And also keep in mind that if there is a project manager who is not used to use such tools, he or she might have difficulties in the beginning. And it may be a good idea to give a proper training to those project managers so that they can effectively use those tools. End objective is to utilize the tool in a way we get the best outcome. Document everything. There are tools, there are some capabilities of the tools which are available where you can upload almost everything on the tool so that you have a central repository as well. So that even if the person leaves in an organization, you have everything captured into the project management tool there, right? So project management tool definitely is in need of an hour, I would say, because there is a need of an organization of the digitization. People don't like a manual work. People want to track the project's task on the go onto their mobile phone. They want to see the dashboard. They want to see what is the track is, or what is the percentage of a completion my project is, what are the activities which is really troubling me, what if I can send a reminders from my mobile phone, and all kind of stuff, right? How much budget is in check, how much is in spend, blah blah blah, right? So the point I'm trying to say is today is a kind of digital world. People want the information on their fingertip, and if that is a need, you need to invest decently onto any online project management tool. Remember, using a spreadsheet is also one of the tool. If you are able to manage your show through that spreadsheet, that's fine. If it's a vision of an organization to have it managed on the spreadsheet, that's fine. But if the organization wants everything on the go and wants to see the project updates on a real-time basis, maybe it will be a good idea to have some organized tool into the place. Let's talk about some of the tools now. Milestone-based chart. As we know that every project will necessarily have a milestone. Milestone, as I repeat, is nothing but the set of activities. If they are completed, we can consider that as a milestone which is completed, right? As a project management tool, you might want to capture all those milestones into a form of a spreadsheet, into a form of an email alert, into the form of any other way which you feel suitable, but you are capturing only milestones and only dates. That could be or that can be considered as your milestone chart based tool. This is very a kind of a rudimentary approach, or I would say the very, very basic simplified approach. And when you have a smaller segment of the people, when you have a very less complicated project, when you have a less milestones, it makes sense to use this particular project. But remember that if you have hundreds of milestones and you want to keep them and say multiple milestones are working in a parallel track, the update or the management of this particular method is really a nightmare. Okay, and imagine that you are managing everything onto a piece of spreadsheet, no redundancy, nothing on a cloud-based, nothing available on the go, not a central repository. Really, really little tough for somebody to manage those task-based or this action-based spreadsheets. Further, milestone was a little at a high level. Then you have something as a task level, okay, task list. Connecting back to the previous example, when I had 100 milestones, imagine I might have 100 multiplied by 3 or 100 multiplied by 5 task lists. And if really there are so many task lists, then it becomes all the more difficult to manage your specific tracking mechanism for the projects, right? And again, here, the benefit I would say for the task base is you can really narrow down and you can really just filter it out, some of the tasks for which there's a specific user or there's a specific person who is assigned to complete that, that task. And if one person is responsible for managing so many tasks, then you can probably pinpoint a person and you can take the status updates through that particular task list. Really, a granular level of approach. A few people are still comfortable in reviewing those task lists depending on the project which they are into. In fact, Microsoft Teams has a very good feature of adding the task, right? So the moment you can you're adding a task, you're making an owner, you're making the start date and end date and whatever it is, the person gets reminder automatically. So that can also be used as the task list based approach in case you want to capture it. Again, the more task you have, the more difficult it becomes. It becomes sometimes very cluttery. For one project, it's fine. For a couple of projects, it's still fine. But when you have multiple projects, one person getting involved into multiple projects, sometimes it becomes a little difficult to really manage the situation. A most common and a most acceptable and the most used format is something which you see it here, which is a Gantt chart. Okay? If any one of you have an experience to work with the Microsoft project, which is a kind of a spreadsheet based project management tool where you can create a milestone, you can create a task, okay, that actually gives you the representation in the form of a Gantt chart. Okay, so Gantt chart is nothing but it will show you the bar based structure where it will actually show you from where the task is starting, which week they are starting, which week they are ending. Is there any other subsequent task which is actually starting in parallel or in sequence, whatever it is. Okay, so on this particular Gantt chart, you on the left hand side you have all the activities listed, and on the horizontal scale you have all the weeks or times or months or year or whatever it is captured, right? And you'll be able to see into a graphical form, but not very flashy way, in a very normal basic way, right? And here the beauty of this particular Gantt chart is you can probably track it on a weekly basis. You can come to know that yes, this is the task which was expected to finish by week 2, and probably you can check the status from the respective owner. Now the catch is this particular Gantt chart not necessarily gives you the alerts or whatever it is. It is just a form of a visual representation, and it will capture the details like start date, end date. It will tell you the name of the activity. It will tell you the begin and end date or the dependency on each other's activity. And it will also probably capture some of the activities which are either running in parallel or overlapping each other, or maybe one resource consuming or getting consumed for running into the two activities. And probably you can interpret that as a risk. Okay, so this is what is something what you see as the representation of a Gantt chart. Very simple, very basic. And if you notice it here, it says some of the activities which are getting overlapped, some of the activities which are scheduled to finish in Q1, in the mid of the Q2, and so on and so forth, right? So this is what the sample representation. It indeed has some of the advantages, but it indeed also has some of the limitations. Now, advantages, it's a simplified tool. It's well known. It's people are using it since ages. It actually gives you the milestone. It also gives you the activities. So basically, you can prepare your project plan into that particular form, and it's a kind of a helpful. Okay, and it's really a handy, lightweight. The project manager can actually review those task lists on a daily basis, weekly basis, and since it's used since ages, many people are comfortable in using it. Okay. For the senior representation point of view, it also kind of gives you the visibility in terms of a bar, but again, a very basic thing, but it gives a fair amount of idea to the senior leadership that yes, this is what is off track, this is what is on track. Some of the demerit, or I would say the disadvantages of this tool is, as I said, the bar length would not necessarily depict you the correct indicator. It may not necessarily give you the effort estimate. It may not give you may not give you the right representation when the person changes. Okay, it will also probably little difficult to understand the bandwidth which the person is going to use into that particular activity. And when it becomes too much, it really becomes cumbersome to have this activity tracked, because the more line items you add into that particular chart, the more size of that particular file will become, and hence it will be a little difficult to manage that particular show. The another method is network diagram. So basically, those who have an experience to work into the network field, you might be very familiar about the connections which goes from router to router, router to switches, or maybe if somebody has an exposure to work with some of the flow charts, right? So you see the specific flow chart which is going around and connecting one activity to the another activity and the subsequent activity and all kind of stuff, right? Network diagram is also into the similar fashion, where you see the multiple activities captured in the form of a nodes, and the nodes will actually be connected with each other. It will also tell you the interrelated dependencies in case there is any. Basically, in a nutshell, if I have to simplify, it will just give you the network or a visual or a graphical representation that, hey, there are about 7 to 10 activities into this particular project. One activity can start only after this activity is over. This particular activity can start in parallel. The time taken for this activity is so much. Okay, the task related to this activity is XYZ, and so on and so forth. It will probably give you the fair amount of a representation that how much time it is going to take. The schedule is at par, it's not. If there are multiple tasks which are involved there, it will also give you some bit of a direction there. Okay. The problem also is here, and we'll talk about the problem in just a bit, but the diagram, as you see, it is like, you know, something of the similar sort. You have broken down all your work. So assume number 1 to number 12 as the sum of the tasks which you have captured in the form of a network diagram. Okay, so basically you know for sure that you are starting with task 1. The end objective is to reach task 12. There are 3 ways in which you can reach to task 12 from task 1, and some of the tasks may take a little bit of more time, some of the tasks may get a little bit of less time, and so on and so forth, right? But it also clearly shows you the dependencies. It clearly tells you that the task 4 cannot start if the task 1, 2, and 3 is not yet over, right? Pretty much simple diagram, pretty much tells you the basic things, but obviously it might have some more limitations as well, right? Because the more you make it complicated, the more the number of work or the activity, if it gets introduced in between, then probably it becomes little tedious to navigate or to change the entire diagram. And especially when you are not comfortable in making the graphical diagrams per se, it becomes really a nightmare for a project manager to make such diagrams. Sometimes the project managers are very technical in nature. They are good at command lines. They are good at executing the command on the router and all. But when they have to make such diagrams, then it becomes a little difficult for them to you know, play around with it. So that is something on the network diagram. This is very interesting on the critical path method. Okay, so here is the same sort of the network diagram would be used, but the best part of this particular technique is it'll tell you that which are the activities which are must to finish for this project to get over. Okay, and like, you know, sometimes you also calculate the exact path where the maximum amount of time it will take if you follow this particular path. Okay, and which path, which task has dependency on what task earlier, and what if there's a delay into the previous task, it might impact your entire value chain of the project. Okay, it clearly identifies the critical project, it will clearly identify the critical activities of the project, and then you can well focus onto those particular critical activities, because it will definitely have the impact. Some of the advantages here is you can schedule, you can manage your project work sometimes easily. You know for sure that which are the critical activities which must be completed. You can actually estimate your overall project duration, which is pretty much accurate. You can also sequence your activities. Okay, so like how we saw in the sequence 1, 2, 3, you can also have that sequencing. You can also help in tracking the delays, and you can also help in expediting some of the processes. Okay, so that is actually very helpful. Many organizations I've seen using some of the method of the critical path. Of course, today is a world of agile. Today, you generally don't follow the sequence. You should be open enough to navigate your ship accordingly, depending on the need. Okay. Some of the more facts on the critical path is to finish the project. If you want to finish the project on the schedule, you have to closely monitor all the tasks. I mean, it's a kind of a no-brainer. Obviously, if you have to clear the project on time, you need to see all the activities which are happening very continuously. The critical path may change or can be changed if the critical tasks are completed or if the tasks in another series are delayed. Okay, so you may foresee a change here, but it's pretty much close to accurate. So the moment you place the bits together, you have a fair amount of visibility that yes, by so and so time you'll be able to complete the project. But for doing that, the project manager should review the critical activities onto the critical path so that at least those are arrested, and you can eliminate some of the tasks which are non-critical in nature. Which means that the project manager can have a dedicated focus, can align the resources from the non-critical path activities to the critical activity. So the critical path is generally the longest sequence, and it sets the minimum time to complete the project. Okay, so this basic definition of your critical path activity, and 1 day delay in the critical path task may immediately translate into 1 day delay into the project, right? So it's like a straight away, I would say, the correlation, right? So if you have identified the critical path, which has 5 different activities, and if any one activity is getting delayed by 1 day, so imagine that your project is scheduled to complete by within 5 days. Okay, I'm talking about very small project right now, and if there's a delay in between 2 activities and you are delayed by 1 day, your overall completion will also be delayed by 1 day, right? So very, very less chances that you can still cut short and you can still meet the timeline, depending on, again, the nature of the project which you are dealing with. But it all apples to apples addition of any delay into the in between activity to the target timeline of the project. The another method is called critical chain method, somewhat similar to the critical path method, but here is something which is called buffer, which has been used here. So buffer is nothing but the time which we keep it extra as a part of our contingency, right? So here the CPM or critical path method project activity, it will necessarily focus on the resource and the time efficiency which can be put the schedule at risk, right? So typically the amount or the money is kept aside here, but here are the two things which are kept in mind: resources in hand and the time in hand. In the critical chain method, what they do is they divide the work into the natural work of streams, which is nothing but some of the smaller segments of the project work, which they kind of segmentize it. They kind of divide it into multiple tasks. Because there is a buffer or because there is a flow which is being kept there, the resources would have a liberty to float around the schedule, has a ability to float around the multiple tasks. It says that the critical chain method is most suited business enhancement transformation project. Well, depending on the need of your project, you can actually use this particular activity. Some of the steps which are involved into the critical chain methods, okay, and I will just go in the sequence in the interest of everybody. So each task is assigned a duration, right? So maybe between task A to task B, if you want to reach, maybe if it requires five days of man effort, it will be assigned that 5 days of man effort into that particular activity. Now the resources can also be accordingly assigned to achieve that particular task outcome. Now the plan is subjected to the resource leveling using the aggressive durations, and the longest sequence is identified as a critical chain. The worst case scenario is kind of factored here. So say for example, to reach A to Z, you have two different paths. You have A to B and you have A to C, and in turn B would reach to Z and C would reach to Z. Now the catch here is into the critical chain method, I'm going to take the maximum amount of time. So imagine that from A to Z, if I am taking the path A or path B, it'll probably take about 5 months. And if I go via path C, it'll probably take about 6 months. In the critical chaining, I would be taking the amount which is taking a maximum amount of time because of the various reason. Now, the buffer or a float is used here, many a times to ensure that the maximum amount of time is being captured. Now, the extra duration of each task on the critical chain is generally accumulated together and formed as a buffer pool, right? And as in when there is a need, some time can be allocated from the buffer, right? Now the buffers are also gathered at the end of the each sequence, and the task that is again fed it back into the critical chain of the system. The date at the end of the project buffer is generally communicated to the external party, because I don't want to fall flat on my face. I don't want to move away from my committed date. So what I will do is I will probably add whatever buffer I have added. So say for example, between the path 1 to path B or path 1 to path C, if there are 5 days of buffer I have kept it as a part of my planning, I will be communicating the exact date to my customer after that 5 days and not necessarily before that. Okay. However, having said this, I will always motivate my resource to ignore those buffers, because as an internal resource, internal person, it will be my jurisdiction or it will be my of interest to complete the project well before the time and not after the time.